When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, Ross Barber.
And Marcy Novelli.
And today on the show, we have Kaylin West from Tiny Stills with us. Hey, Kaylin, how's it going?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're good. We hear it's hot in LA.
It is actually really hot in LA, and I just closed all my windows because it sounds really good to close the windows. And it's hot, and I'm wearing flannel because it looks good. So I just don't know what I'm doing with my life, is what I But yes. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So right off the bat, we like to ask you three things about yourself that everyone should know.
But I've got a bone to pick with Kaylin before she answers this question, because Kaylin decided to crowdsource her answer and ask everyone on Facebook what the things that people should know are. So I would like you to discard any information that you've been given and just go with your heart.
Oh, no.
Tell us what's inside.
Just what's inside.
She cheated the system.
Is that cheating? I wasn't aware of the rules before we started this game. So disregarding everyone's answer, three things about myself. I like to do everything myself. I'm very hands-on in terms of like the way I approach, I don't know, life or music, you know, in general, just a hands-on person. That's one. Second one, I'm like drawing a blank, which is why I ask people on Facebook. I don't know, just, okay, so hands-on, I play a lot of different instruments, things about myself, like, I really just, again, that's probably hands-on. I'm super short, and I...
What's super short?
I'm 5'2".
She's shorter than me!
Yes. How tall are you?
5'4".
5'4"? Okay,
yeah,
how tall
I'm 5'6", 5'7", depends on how long I sleep and how much I stretch.
You know what? That actually makes a difference. How much you sleep, it actually makes you taller.
I know, like, that's what I'm saying. After yoga, I'm 5'7". Before yoga, I'm 5'6".
Short and pretty hardworking. I kind of am always doing something. I'm like juggling a lot of things usually. That's me.
So what do people on Facebook say about you? We can use some of their answers as well.
What they said.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, Ross Barber.
And Marcy Novelli.
And today on the show, we have Kaylin West from Tiny Stills with us. Hey, Kaylin, how's it going?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're good. We hear it's hot in LA.
It is actually really hot in LA, and I just closed all my windows because it sounds really good to close the windows. And it's hot. And I'm wearing flannel because it looks good. So I just don't know what I'm doing with my life, is what I But yes. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So right off the bat, we like to ask you three things about yourself that everyone should know.
But I've got a bone to pick with Kaylin before she answers this question, because Kaylin decided to crowdsource her answer and ask everyone on Facebook what the things that people should know are. So I would like you to discard any information that you've been given and just go with your heart.
Oh, no.
Tell us what's inside.
Just what's inside.
She cheated the system.
Is that cheating? I wasn't aware of the rules before we started this game. So disregarding everyone's answer, three things about myself. I like to do everything myself. I'm very hands-on in terms of, like, the way I approach, I don't know, life or music, you know, in general, just a hands-on person. That's one. Second one, I'm, like, drawing a blank, which is why I ask people on Facebook. I don't know, just... Okay, so hands-on, I like to... I play a lot of different instruments, things about myself. Like, I really just... Again, that's probably hands-on. I'm super short, and I...
What's super short?
I'm 5'2".
She's shorter than me! Yes.
How tall are you?
5'4".
5'4"? Okay,
yeah, how tall are you? 5'6", 5'7", depends on how long I sleep and how much I stretch.
You know what? That actually makes a difference. How much yeah, you it sleep, it actually makes you taller.
I know, like, that's I what I'm know saying. That.
I yeah. I,
after
that,
yoga, I'm 5'7". Before yoga, I'm 5'6".
Short and pretty hardworking. I kind of am always doing something. I'm like juggling a lot of things usually. That's me.
So what do people on Facebook say about you? We can use some
really
of their answers
know
as well.
What they said.
I so did see some of them, but share them with everyone.
Here's the thing. I have a little tablet of things that I wanted to mention. My old middle school music teacher, Rich Miller, says that I am whimsical, which means not too serious, but also serious, according
That's
to his...
That's such a teacher thing to say. You're
new,
whimsical.
New definition of what he thinks that I am, which is very interesting, because he made me cry once, and he doesn't know that.
he does now.
He does now. Rich Miller, if you're watching. You made me cry once. Mark Wessel, Steve Bone said I was short and diminutive, which, you know, whatever, I agree with that. That was one of my answers. Will Kennedy, who actually recorded my album, decided to call me audacious, which is a synonym for fearless, but also insolent, which means rude and disrespectful. And I don't know if that's, maybe that's just our relationship. You know what I mean? Like, could be just us, but.
Well, that's how I find you. Ooh, I mean, I'm kidding.
No,
controversial.
I mean,
again,
I've definitely said some mean things to you via Twitter, like publicly, you know.
Oh yeah, I thought you were joking.
I was, but still can be kind of
oh,
rude.
Oh, you.
yeah, that's how I feel, because it's hot, not because Ross is giving me a hard time.
So, go ahead, rub it in.
That was not made entirely of ants is also how I was described by Phil Woods.
Well, that's a good thing.
So
that is good.
Those are a few of my favorites, I think, in terms of what everyone else thinks of me. But
well,
yeah.
You already mentioned that you're a multi-instrumentalist.
Yes.
You've learned a lot of different instruments, which is kind of, like you said, you're hands-on. Why leave it to somebody else if you can do it yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can completely relate to that. But you studied at Berkeley. You studied engineering.
Yes.
And so as a musician, what made you want to go on to the behind-the-scenes technical side of things?
When I was, so my first memory of music being something that I was passionate about was when I was listening to my dad's jukebox in our living room, and he had, Ain't No Mountain High on it. Like, so he had all these, like, these records and stuff. So, and I used to push this button, like, on repeat, and I used to stick my head, like, in the middle of the jukebox, like, 'cause my head was small enough to fit in the, like, you know, in between those, like, wooden slats in the middle. So I would, like, stick my head in there, and I would listen to it, and it was, like, I don't think my parents could have thought I was any more strange. Like, that's the strangest thing I think you could see, like, a five-year-old doing. And I think after that, I decided that I really wanted to know more about, like, the recorded aspect of music, because it seemed like the right way to, like, share what you do. You know, as, like, a songwriter, I wanted to be able to take my songs and, like, make sure that they translated to, you know, everyone who was listening. And being able to record them was a huge part of being able to communicate that with other people. So right. I think that was kind of what made me, being a songwriter, you know, and loving recorded music from the get-go, really, I think, is why I wanted to go into engineering and learn more about that. Because I love recorded music. I love recording and production and all that stuff so much.
Well, I'm completely with you on that. I do the exact same thing as a singer-songwriter. I also the production, engineering, and mixing side of things. And people actually, I think some people underestimate the creativity that goes into that as well. Right. Whether it's your own music or you're working with another artist, it really is a completely creative expression. You know, the way you approach your production or engineering or mixing. Especially mixing is my favorite thing too. I don't know about you. What would you pick out of production, engineering, and mixing?
You know
you
what?
I
think if I have to pick one, I would pick arranging.
Okay.
Because, which I think would fall under production, because when you have a great
arrangement. That's a tough one. There's like debate on where.
Yeah. Where I don't know where that would fall, but you know what I mean? Like having a great arrangement and having those instruments kind of fit together in the right way makes mixing easier, makes everything. It just, it's like the puzzle, you know? And that's what it is. It's like recorded music is a puzzle that you're solving, you know, and you have all these different pieces or textures like colors or paints, you know, and you get to just make, you know, your own kind of, your own art, your own painting with all of these different textures and stuff, which is that's like my thing. Oh my God, I freak out.
Do you ever take the approach that, like I always tell people, if I'm working with someone else and they're hesitant to try something, I always tell them, you can always take it away, you know, but don't, because if you're working with an artist and I've had this before and they're hesitant to try things, it kills the creative process, right? And you got to kind of explain to them, look, we're here to just explore and you know, you have to trust the producer to have a vision. You know, and I think something I completely relate to you with, I think here is being a songwriter, singer, songwriter yourself. I think that people should trust you even more because you are an artist as well. You know what I mean? So you it's kind of like the 360, kind of the 360 deal.
Yeah, except it's good.
Yeah, in a good, not a 360 record label deal. 360, you've got all angles there. You know, it's kind of like the director that still acts.
Yeah,
to remember what it's like to be directed, you know?
You know, and I think that's a great way to describe it, because so many times when you're going into a recording session, having not done it before, being able to fill in those different positions in those roles, you know, having done a little bit of everything, it's like you can communicate better with everybody else because you know what it's like, because you don't want to be recording someone, even as an engineer, you know, working with someone who maybe they're incredibly frustrated. You know, they're having a bad day, that kind of thing. And you know what it's like because you've had bad days where you just can't, like, nothing sounds good. It's like when you wake up and your clothes are too tight and you're like, oh, I have nothing to wear.
Exactly.
Except musically, you know.
Exactly.
But it's really a great thing. And I love doing it, engineering other people and also my stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like we could go on for days about that. So.
Oh, yeah.
And then
we'll do a special just on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then something big happened. You composed, performed, and co-wrote the opening sequence for Bon Jovi's Because We Can international tour.
Yes.
Now, how did that happen?
How did that
happen?
Because
Bon Jovi is like, Bon Jovi, like.
So I have some friends who, they needed a guitarist. My one friend Steve needed a guitarist to play these parts. He needed, because you can't have an opening sequence for a Bon Jovi show without some like, wah, wah, you know, you need something. And so my other friend texted me and said, do you have a talk box? And I was like, no, because who has a talk box? And he goes, well, you need to go get one because I need you to go record these parts. And I was like, okay, I guess I will find it. So I put my feelers out, you know, asking, see if I could borrow a talk box from someone because I didn't know what it was about. Like I just had like an idea. And so I borrowed a talk box. This is actually related to my funny story. Borrowed a talk box from a friend. The power supply was wrong. So you need a specific kind of power supply for this pedal. And I didn't have it. So here I am after doing a full day of work. And I need to get a talk box because there's a deadline for this project, which is like 1 a.m. and like need to finish it before the end of the day because they're on the East Coast and they need to have a bounce of this stuff. And I go to find the right power supply for this talk box. I don't want to have to buy a talk box. No one uses those. That's like a very specific thing. And I go to Radio Shack. They don't have the right power supply. I go to Sam Ash. They don't have the right power supply. I go to call Guitar Center finally. And I say, hey, I was wondering, do you have talk boxes in stock? Because I really need one for this project. Like, and I need it here and now. And the guy who I'm friends with now picks up, you know, who answers the phone, is very perky and very excited to, you know, talk to me about getting a talk box because he's going to sell one because no one ever buys them. And then he's like, hi, he's going to kill me. Hi, this is Patrick from Guitar Center. I have this talk box right here for you. Phil, just come on by. So I'm like, great. Go to Guitar Center. I walk in. At this point, I'm exhausted because I don't even know, like, if I'm going to get this done in time or, like, what's going to happen, if they're going to like it. And I'm like, I have to buy this thing because I need it. And he is super perky and I'm exhausted. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, what you doing? Doing some Bon Jovi covers? And I go, oh, yeah, kind of, pretty much. And he goes, oh, you're being so silly. And I was like, no, like, it like is actually like for Bon Jovi. And he goes, you're buying this for Bon Jovi? And I go, no, No. And I just have to like kindly like defer this, like the situation to a different topic. But it was like so surreal after having worked like a 10-hour day doing a session and then coming home and needing to finish this thing. But the answer is really just like that my friend needed somebody and I made the time to be there and then worked my butt off for like 20 hours straight. We stayed up for days working on this project to just get the deadline and finish it. And I did it like in my pajamas. We had flash drives that we were throwing back and forth across his bedroom. We had two workstations where he was working with MIDI and I was working with the audio and I was tracking as I was going. And we were throwing flash drives back and forth, working on it for hours and hours. And then I got to go see it played at the Staples Center. And I just laughed.
That must have been cool. That must have been really weird.
It was so amazing. It was the loudest I've ever been, you know, like I've ever heard my stuff, you know, performed. Because, I just never thought I would be able to do that. And then I just laughed because people were going crazy, like right in the spots we were trying to arrange it. So we had like the first break where it's like, okay, people need to start cheering here. And then they did. And then we need people to start screaming more right here. You know, we kind of had this whole like thing planned out. And then I just laughed because I was in my pajamas the whole time. Like I was like, you know, like nobody knew that it was me, you know, playing the guitar on that or like anything like that. It was just, I was in my PJs and it's like, billy, billy, billy. No one knew. So.
See, I think the highlight of the story is that Patrick gets a shout on a Bridgie Atlantic here.
I'm glad that Patrick finally gets the credit exactly. He deserves for it. You know?
Patrick, I am so sorry that I made you sound like Patrick. That because you don't sound like that when you talk. And it was just a funny story, I swear. If you're watching this, I'm so sorry.
We're going to get Patrick on to do a response, I think. I think that should be something that we do. Patrick,
actually,
we
encourage Patrick to do a response video.
He's very nice. Patrick, you're very nice. And I love all of the help that you've given me throughout the years of Guitar Center work. I promise. I swear to God.
I hope he's still going to help you after this.
I had my pedal board stolen out of my car a couple weeks ago and I texted him. He was the person I texted. I said, Patrick, can you please help me? Because just send out like a blast to all the Guitar Center saying all this stuff is stolen. And he did it. Like, I don't even know if he was at work. He was just like being really helpful. And I was like, please help me. Because that was the worst feeling ever. So shouldn't make fun of people who are nice.
Good feeling. Speaking of a good feeling, having your music on TV shows like Dance Moms and One Life to Live has to be to counterbalance those bad feelings. See how I did a segue there? That was kind of bad. Could have been good if it was executed by a professional.
You need to just, you're faking
being
it.
Executed
really
by me.
It's really good.
It was. I could edit good. This to make it look like it was really good, but I won't.
I think you just own it.
I want to know what Dance Moms is because it sounds like the most amazingly terrible show. I love amazingly terrible shows. I love them.
Is that anything like those terrible, terrible mothers that force their kids to be in pageants and sexualize like little girls? Like, is that basically what it is?
It's just like that. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
It's basically like the soccer moms, but of
that's
dance.
Sarcasm, by the way, people. Just before people are like, oh, wow, Marcia thinks it's awesome that these terrible mothers are sexualizing little girls. That was sarcasm. It is not awesome. Music was in it. That's awesome.
You see, here's the thing is like, this girl, she did a dance. They wrote a dance to one of the songs that I had done with my band Black Kettle and my friend Jonathan Ahrens. And she like they choreographed it and everything. And this little girl, and she danced to it, and it was awesome. It was so cool watching because I was like, no one's ever written a dance or like, you know, made a dance to something I'd done before. But then it was so surreal because like her mother is just so awful. And I watched it. I actually watched Dance Moms because
you know what
I
her
wanted
name
to
is?
See. The girl,
the girl's
dancer.
Mother?
No, she's like the lead, you know, she's like the girl in the show.
In the show?
Like,
okay, well, I just wanted to give her a shout out to you.
Okay.
And welcome her to give us a response on this video.
Yeah.
On this episode.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Why they do what they do.
I mean, they're they're doing something right because they have a show. And I mean,
so does Honey Boo Boo.
That's like, I know. That's like saying the Kardashians are doing something right because they've got a show. Exactly. They're not doing very much right.
Hey, from a musical standpoint, like from a career standpoint, that's amazing. You have your music on there. That is an amazing point.
Thank you.
Because, hey, you're not associated with the show. They just used your song. But other than that,
it was so weird. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And then it was also like, wow, this show is crazy. You know, because I didn't know that this was a thing until I, you know.
That's like if Charles Manson ever covered your song. You're like, this is so cool, but wait, this is so not cool.
I would love that. I would love that.
Controversial.
I can't even imagine. But no, it actually
Are you
got
a fan
me
of One Life to Live?
I don't actually know much about One Life to Live.
Is that a soap opera?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like one
for soap operas. Yeah,
it is. It's like a daytime, yeah.
Like Days of Our Lives, or one of those terrible shows.
I watched Days of Our Lives once. It was the most amazing hour of my life. Seriously, it was just the worst thing I've ever seen. But in such a way that I couldn't stop watching. I was actually like,
right,
like a train wreck.
Whoa,
it was so good. Or a car accident. Away.
I just don't know how people watch it. I don't know how people watch soap operas.
Seriously, it was so good. It was so bad.
I love that paranormal show you watch. I watched like an Home episode Inspectors. Or two, and I'm like, what's it called?
It's Paranormal Home Inspectors. But you know what's funny? You know how I was talking to you? You know how I was talking to you about it and how it was so bad? Yeah. The woman from the show favorited my tweet to you, which was me being sarcastic, saying that I love this show. She favorited it. And then I felt really bad, and I've not watched it since because I feel so bad.
Shout out to Paranormal Investigators.
Yes.
It was so good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So weird. Twitter is a strange place.
Twitter is
Tiny Stills.
Tiny Stills.
Tiny Stills. That's your new band.
That's my band. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tell us about Tiny Stills and your new album, Falling is Like Flying.
Sure. So Tiny Stills is me, my band, and this album I wrote. There's a crazy story behind this album. And what it is that I was in a band that broke up after I went through this thing where I was working at a minimum wage job in Los Angeles as a baker. And we were working, me and my best friend Charo, and a guy came in and robbed us at gunpoint.
Oh.
And so I know, this is the crazy story.
That is
story
a hilarious story. I love how
Isn't
you say
hilarious?
This is a funny story.
So this is my funny story. Robbed us, and then my whole life kind of changed after that. Like, my band broke up, I moved into a new place, and all of my relationships that I had previously kind of changed. And this album is like the sunglasses, you know, the change of temperature, if you will, on all of those relationships that I had previously. And it's kind of like the first thing that I did after living through this like crazy thing that happened to me, and like all of my relationships changed and all of that, right? So yeah, so all of these songs are kind of like the way everything changed after my life, you know, that happened to me. So Tiny Stills was a project that I created and the name stems from the fact that each of these songs is like a little snapshot into my life. For each experience that I had, it's because so many times with songs, like, it exists right now. Like right now, this song may be applicable to my life and might be exactly what I'm feeling. But like in 5 years, maybe not. But right now, it was like that was what I felt and that was how it was. And so I did a Kickstarter for this album. I made this project under this name, this moniker. So I've got like I've got videos coming out, and I've got, you know, I'm doing. Which is crazy because I never thought being a musician, you would have to shoot videos and like make, like my friend Nate Little is making puppets for these videos, and I'm finding puppeteers. And it's like all this crazy stuff being a musician to promote this album, you know, which is really like as a musician what you do. But anyway, you have to do all this other stuff as well. So I'm like super busy with that and promoting it.
This episode might air after it's released, so we'll just add in there it may have already been released, so go buy it.
So you can Google that if you want.
Yes, and buy it.
And buy it. But yeah, I'm really excited to put it out. It's been a long time coming, and this is the first album I put out that's basically like I had a heavy hand in it. Like this is like my baby, you know.
Nice.
So I'm super excited.
So Tiny Stills is your solo project?
Yes.
Right, and you decided to use a moniker. Why?
Because I didn't want to have to fight the stigma of being a female songwriter. Because in terms of branding myself, which is something I think about a lot as a producer and someone who likes to see the forest, the bigger picture, I didn't want to come across as being just an individual singer-songwriter, because the way people perceive that is very specific. And even me as a musician, seeing individual female singer-songwriters, there's a stigma to that, that you ultimately have to fight from the get-go. And I didn't want to have to, I didn't want to have to fight that. You know, that was a battle that I can leave out of the equation in terms of getting,
you know, there's a stigma with I wouldn't 100%. Say stigma, but even with male singer-songwriters, there is an expectation, because that's myself. I use my own name.
Exactly. And
I've debated before, you know, to use a band name or whatever, but I do know there's, like you're saying, there's a separate stigma with females too. I know what you're talking about. You don't want to have to deal with that.
It sucks to have to say that. It really does.
It's reality though.
But it's the way, it's exactly, it's reality. And you kind of have to just be honest with yourself about it. And for a while I was going under my name and it just, and it was working. And it, you know, there's something cool about being able to see your name next to people who you're working with, you know, be like so-and-so and also like your name, you know, and you're like, yeah, that's me. That's my stuff. I'm working on it. It's me. You know, whereas like this name that I'm going under, it's a little bit vague, you know, cause you don't necessarily know if, when you see it, if it's a girl singer, if it's a guy singer, that, you know, you kind of have this veil to what the music is that you can hide behind or not. And it was important to me because I just didn't want to have to fight that battle, but it works out. And I got a lot of advice as I was like trying to figure it out, you know, like I asked a lot of my friends who are singer songwriters who have, you just go under their name, you know, would you have changed the way that you started your career? You know, would you have, if you could go back, would you have gone under a moniker? And they all said yes. So I was like,
see, it's so funny because I started out as a moniker and I dropped the moniker, you know, because the angle I took was once music is being released under my name, I have to make sure it's the best music that at least best by my subjective term that I'm most proud of because it's under my name. Right. But in the other angle of it, when you use a band name, you don't have, like when it's your name, you are the image. You have to be, you know what I mean? When you use a name, you can create an image. Aside from just your physical appearance, which is kind of appealing too, because then you're appealing, you can create a whole world.
Yeah.
You know, so there's I think there's a complete pro to con to both, which I'm sure you would agree with, having there be a pro and con. And it's not a difficult decision to make.
Yeah.
You kind of know what feels right for you. And I think you kind of go with that. And I think you both made the right decision. So good job, both of you.
But you know what? you might even decide to release something under your own name one day if it felt right. And maybe it's completely different from what you're doing with Tiny Stills.
Yeah. I mean, that's completely fair too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you can change. But you know what? What else though? Like, I feel like going under your name means that you can never, like you said before, you can never really backtrack from that. Like once you put it on the internet and it's your name, it's like, even if you decide you're going to be a rock band here and then you want to be like a funk singer, you know, or like funk or get it, it's just completely changed to rebrand your name, which is yourself. It's really difficult.
Yeah. Oh, it's much more difficult.
Absolutely.
It's much more difficult to fight, to get away from what you've already done. And in that sense, it's just like, who knows? I don't know what the future holds for me, but like this project, I'm just going to take as far as I can. I think it's great that you go under your name and you know, it works for you. And your music is great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. So is yours.
Yeah, I checked it out. it's really great.
There you go. Do a little heart there. but you know what? Like, yeah, exactly. There's pros and cons. So tell us, what's the Michael Cera incident?
Oh, my God. Wait, did I tell you about the Michael Cera?
You told me about it,
I do not know about this. I just know it as the quote-unquote
Cera
incident. So I'm excited to hear about this.
I told you. I don't remember telling you that. Okay. So my band, I was in a band called Black Kettle for 3 or 4 years, and we went to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. In 2011, we went specifically. And we had just done a house show in LA. It was cool. It was crazy. We did a house show where it was just our friends. They had people come and play. And there was this cool band that like Americana, before like Americana was like a big deal, like the Lumineers, like before all that stuff happened. And I was like, oh, I love this band. This is so cool. And there's like a banjo player and there was a guitarist. And so we played the show and then basically like hit the road the next day and go to South by Southwest to play some shows. And we're walking down 6th Street, which is the street that has all the bars and all of the venues, and it's super cool. And there's like hundreds and hundreds of people on the street at any given time. And we're walking, and I spot this guy And I go, oh my God, that's the banjo player from the freaking show we just played. Like, what are the odds that they're here at South by Southwest too? Like, we just saw each other. That's amazing. And so he walks past me and I reach out and I grab him as he walks by and he ignores me. And I just am like, turn to my bandmate. I go, that was rude. Like, who does that? Like, that's crazy. And then I said, I have to say hi because this is such a strange coincidence. And so I run down the block. Because at this point, like, the crowd has drifted us far away. Run down the block, I grab him, I go, hey, oh my gosh, do you remember me? We played a show together, like, 2 days ago. And he goes, no, I don't, mm-mm. And I go, no, I swear to God, you play banjo, right? And he goes, no, I don't play banjo. And I go, no, I swear I know you, we just played a show together, like, you don't remember me? And he goes, no, I think you have me mistaken for someone else. And at this time, the girl that he's with, who is, like, very obviously, like, his girlfriend of sorts or something, looks at me like, who the heck is this? Like, I'm gonna, like, just piss, she's just angry. And I turn back to my bandmate, and she's looking at me and she's like, no. And I'm like, oh God, who is this? And then I apologize. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, didn't mean to like bug you. And I walk back to her and she goes, why did you just grab Michael Sarah? Like, why did you just grab Michael Sarah and run after him? And I was like, oh my God, because I'm so bad with like movies and actors and, you know, like I'm just notoriously, I am bad at knowing people. And who they are. And so the cherry on top with that is that her sister ran into him later on at the festival and said, oh my gosh, my sister's bandmate like grabbed you and said she knew you from a show. And his response was, yeah, that was weird.
Oh, well, shout out to Michael Sarah.
Michael Sarah, if you are watching, that was me. That was, I did that.
So, Michael Sarah, and feel her free album's to out on this video October. If you want.
So, someday I'm going to meet him again.
Yes.
And he's not going to remember me. Or maybe he will.
He probably
will.
He'll
be under different circumstances.
I know.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
Yeah, I think.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
Summer or winter?
Oh, shit. Zero, sorry. Go ahead.
Summer or winter? Summer.
Yeah. Pizza or pierogies?
Oh, pierogies. I just made pierogies. Literally, they're right there. Pierogies. Okay. Like, yeah.
And Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Solo or band?
Band.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain.
Ghosts or toast?
Ghosts.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt. Frozen yogurt.
Whiskey or beer?
Whiskey.
Cowboys or aliens?
Cowboys.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Bon Jovi or baloney?
Baloney. Baloney.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Whale or kale?
Kale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And the final question, drum roll. Ross or Marcio?
Oh no!
Uh-huh.
No!
We went there.
Oh God.
We are actually there.
We're right there now.
Okay.
And you only have 2 seconds.
Marcio. Because he's my new friend. Because he's my... Ross, we go back. Though that's the thing.
Whoa.
Is we go back.
That's
really
the most
far
shocking. That's the most shocking answer.
I just want to say it's because we're new friends.
High five.
And not because we're old friends. So I feel like it's okay because I'm always going to be there for you in that way. I'm always, you know,
I'll be there for you.
We should just let her keep on trying to explain herself out of this.
We're just fade out. That could be a segment in and of itself.
I'm so sorry. You guys can't. That's an awful question.
It is. I love. That's why we
It's really.
It's so uncomfortably awkward. I love it.
Does everyone have that reaction?
Mostly. Oh. Mostly. Some people have said an amalgamation of both of us.
Yeah, some of them have been a bit creepy, though. Like, the way they want to combine us and
they want
stuff
to, like, join us in some sort of melting pot.
So some of them are a little bit weird.
Study.
That's amazing. Yeah.
What sort of advice would you give to aspiring musicians?
My advice would be to not stop doing what you're doing, because you never know when it's going to be the right time to be doing it. You just can't stop. You know, you got to be kind of crazy and just keep going, even when it sucks.
Being crazy is definitely, yeah.
Also, don't be afraid to tell bad jokes on stage. This is something I am notorious for having done. Because how many times are you on stage, right? And people are like, tell a joke. Or they're like, free bird. And you're like, here's the thing. You're going to get what you're asking for, right? So just give them what they want. They want a show. Just bad joke it away. That's my only advice.
Oh, Marcio, you'd be great at that. In your face.
He's so bitter that you picked me. He's so bitter.
No. I'm so sorry.
No. We're good. Like, you and I are, like, so good right now.
You guys.
So good.
I'm so sorry.
So what are you listening to these days? What's on your iPod? What should people check out?
Ryan Adams. I'm listening to a lot of Ryan Adams.
I've not checked out his new record yet.
You haven't?
No. Do you recommend it?
It's really good.
Because I like...
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Some of his stuff, so I'm interested to hear it.
I actually, cool. This is kind of a little bit blasphemy, I suppose, but I didn't really know much of Ryan Adams until very recently, and I decided that it was proof that I don't have friends, because my friends would know that I would love this, and no one showed me, and I felt really upset about it. But yeah, the new Ryan Adams is really good. He was on Letterman and did like an encore of the same song, which is...
Oh, wow.
When does that happen?
You know what, though? I think that's an example of the fact that you're a driven singer, uh-huh. songwriter, producer, engineer, mixer, the list goes on. It's the consequences. You have no friends. I can relate to that. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, it leads to a lot of drinking alone in front of a computer is essentially what it comes down to, because you're always busy. But yeah.
Right.
No, Ryan Adams, I would say that's my suggestion. Cool.
And awesome. Where can people find you online? Tinystills.com?
Tinystills.com. It's Tiny Stills on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So any of those platforms that you like the most.
Perfect.
That's where awesome. I am.
This has been so much fun chatting with you, and you and I are best friends now. So
I know. High five.
Your relationship with Ross might be downhill, but you know, it's okay. You lose we'll one, you okay. gain one. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You guys.
That's what it's all about.
Controversial. Can't do it.
I know.
Hey, but yeah, this has been the most we've name dropped the most people on this, and Bad Talk.
I know.
Bad Talk shows you're on, like your music's on. This is great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Ratings are just gonna go way up, so we're good.
I hope we offend a lot of people with this one.
I hope so too. I really do.
I think we will. I mean, you've definitely offended me, so you know that's one. That's one right off the bat. Right.
And on that note, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for
you
having
made me. Supremely happy.
Sorry, Ross.
Hey, it's fine. We're
much
good.
Love. And come on the show again soon, okay?
Tell us some bad jokes.
Yes. I will.
Awesome. Bad joke.
All right,
hey, take care.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week. Well, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is good.
Those are a few of my favorites, I think, in terms of what everyone else thinks of me, but...
Well, yeah. You mentioned that you're a multi-instrumentalist. Yes. You've learned a lot of different instruments, which is kind of, like you said, you're hands-on. Why leave it to somebody else if you can do it yourself? Mm-hmm. Right? I can completely relate to that. But you studied at Berkeley. You studied engineering.
Yes.
And so as a musician, what made you want to go on to the behind-the-scenes technical side of things?
My first memory of music being something that I was passionate about was when I was listening to my dad's jukebox in our living room, and he had Ain't No Mountain High on it. Like, so he had all these records and stuff. So, and I used to push this button like on repeat, and I used to stick my head like in the middle of the jukebox, like, cause my head was small enough to fit in the, like, you know, in between those like wooden slats in the middle. So I would like stick my head in there and I would listen to it. And it was like, I don't think my parents could have thought I was any more strange. Like, that's the strangest thing I think you could see like a 5-year-old doing. And I think after that, I decided that I really wanted to know more about like the recorded aspect of music, because it seemed like the right way to like share what you do. You know, as like a songwriter, I wanted to be able to take my songs and like make sure that they translated to, you know, everyone who was listening, and being able to record them was a huge part of being able to communicate that with other people. So right. I think that was kind of what made me, being a songwriter, you know, and loving recorded music from the get-go, really, I think is why I wanted to go into engineering and learn more about that, because I love recorded music. I love recording and production and all that stuff so much.
Well, I'm completely with you on that. I do the exact same thing as a singer-songwriter. I also the production, engineering, and mixing side of things. And people actually, I think some people underestimate the creativity that goes into that as well. Right. Whether it's your own music or you're working with another artist, it really is a completely creative expression. Mm-hmm. You know, the way you approach your production or engineering or mixing, especially mixing is my favorite thing too. I don't know about you. What would you pick out of production, engineering, and mixing?
You know what? I think if I have to pick one, I would pick arranging.
Okay.
Because, which I think would fall under production, because when you have a great
arrangement. That's a tough one. There's you know, like debate on where.
Yeah. Where so I don't know where that would fall, but you know what I mean? Like having a great arrangement and having those instruments kind of fit together in the right way makes mixing easier. Makes everything. It just, it's like, it's just the huge, it's like the puzzle, you know, and that's what it is. It's like recorded music is a puzzle that you're solving, you know, and you have all these different pieces or textures, like colors or paints, you know, and you get to just make, you know, your own kind of, your own art, your own painting with all of these different textures and stuff, which is that's like my thing. Oh my God, I freak out.
Do you ever take the approach that, like, I always tell people, if I'm working with someone else and they're hesitant to try something, I always tell them, we can always take it away, you know, but don't, because if you're working with an artist and I've had this before and they're hesitant to try things, it kills the creative process, right? And you got to kind of explain to them, look, we're here to just explore and you know, you have to trust the producer to have a vision. You know, and I think something I completely relate to you with, I think, here is being a songwriter, singer-songwriter yourself, I think that people should trust you even more because you are an artist as well. You know what I mean? So you it's kind of like the 360, kind of the 360 deal.
Yeah, except it's good.
Yeah, not a 360 record label deal. 360, you know, exactly. you've got all angles there. You know, it's kind of like the director that still acts.
Yeah,
to remember what it's like to be directed, you know?
You know, and I think that's a great way to describe it, because so many times when you're going into a recording session, having not done it before, being able to fill in those different positions in those roles, you know, having done a little bit of everything, it's like you can communicate better with everybody else because you know what it's like, because you don't want to be recording someone, even as an engineer, you know, working with someone who maybe they're incredibly frustrated. You know, they're having a bad day, that kind of thing. And you know what it's like because you've had bad days where you just can't, like, nothing sounds good. It's like when you wake up and your clothes are too tight and you're like, oh, I can't, I have nothing to wear.
Exactly.
Except musically, you know.
Exactly.
But it's really a great thing. And I love doing it, engineering other people and also my stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like we could go on for days about that. So.
Oh, yeah.
And then
we'll do a special just on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then something big happened. You composed, performed, and co-wrote the opening sequence for Bon Jovi's Because We Can international tour.
Yes.
Now, how did that happen?
How did that
Bon
happen?
Jovi is like, Bon Jovi, like.
So I have some friends who, they needed a guitarist. My one friend, Steve, needed a guitarist to play these parts. you need it because you can't have an opening sequence for a Bon Jovi show without some like wah wah, you know, you need something. And so my other friend texted me and said, do you have a talk box? And I was like, no, because who has a talk box? And he goes, well, you need to go get one because I need you to go record these parts. And I was like, okay, I guess I will find it. So I put my feelers out, you know, asking, see if I could borrow a talk box from someone because I didn't know what it was about. Like I just had like an idea. And so I borrowed a talk box. This is actually related to my funny story. Borrowed a talk box from a friend. The power supply was wrong. So you need a specific kind of power supply for this pedal. And I didn't have it. So here I am after doing a full day of work. And I need to get a talk box because there's a deadline for this project, which is like 1 a.m. and like need to finish it before the end of the day because they're on the East Coast and they need to have a bounce of this stuff. And I go to find the right power supply for this talk box. I don't want to have to buy a talk box. No one uses those. That's like a very specific thing. I go to Radio Shack. They don't have the right power supply. I go to Sam Ash. They don't have the right power supply. I go to call Guitar Center finally, and I say, hey, I was wondering, do you have talk boxes in stock? Because I really need one for this project. Like, and I need it here and now. And the guy who I'm friends with now picks up, you know, who answers the phone, is very perky and very excited to, you know, talk to me about getting a talk box because he's going to sell one because no one ever buys them. And then he's like, hi, he's going to kill me. Hi, this is Patrick from Guitar Center. I have this talk box right here for you. Phil, just come on by. So I'm like, great. Go to Guitar Center. I walk in. At this point, I'm exhausted because I don't even know like if I'm going to get this done in time or like what's going to happen, if they're going to like it. And I'm like, I have to buy this thing because I need it. And he is super perky and I'm exhausted. And he looks at me and he goes, oh, what you doing? Doing some Bon Jovi covers? And I go, ugh. Yeah, pretty much. And he goes, oh, you're being so silly. And I was like, no, like, it like is actually like for Bon Jovi. And he goes, you're buying this for Bon Jovi? And I go, no. And I just have to like kindly like defer this, like the situation to a different topic. But it was like so surreal after having worked like a 10-hour day doing a session and then coming home and needing to finish this thing. But the answer is really just like that my friend needed somebody and I made the time to be there and then worked my butt off for like 20 hours straight. We stayed up for days working on this project to just get the deadline and finish it. And I did it like in my pajamas. We had flash drives that we were throwing back and forth across his bedroom. We had two workstations where he was working with MIDI and I was working with the audio and I was tracking as I was going. And we were throwing flash drives back and forth, working on it for hours and hours. And then I got to go see it played at the Staples Center. And I just laughed.
That must have been cool. That must have been really weird.
It was so amazing. It was the loudest I've ever been, you know, like I've ever heard my stuff, you know, performed. Because I just never thought I would be able to do that. And then I just laughed because people were going crazy, like right in the spots we were trying to arrange it. So we had like the first break where it's like, okay, people need to start cheering here. And then they did. And then we need people to start screaming more right here. You know, we kind of had this whole like thing planned out. And then I just laughed because I was in my pajamas the whole time. Like I was like, you know, like nobody knew that it was me, you know, playing the guitar on that or like anything like that. It was just, I was in my PJs and it's like, bleh, 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 bleh. No one knew. So,
see, I think the highlight of the story is that Patrick gets a shout on Bridgie Atlantic here.
I'm glad that Patrick finally gets the credit exactly. He deserves for it, you know.
Patrick, I am so sorry that I made you sound
Thanks,
like
Patrick.
That because you don't sound like that when you talk, and it was just a funny story, I swear. If you're watching this, I'm so sorry.
We're going to get Patrick on to do a response, I think. I think that should be something that we do. Patrick
actually,
answers
we
that.
Encourage Patrick to do a response video.
He's very nice. Patrick, you're very nice, and I love all of the help that you've given me throughout the years of Guitar Center work. I promise, I swear to God.
I hope he's still going to help you after this.
I had my pedal board stolen out of my car a couple weeks ago and I texted him. He was the person I texted. I said, Patrick, can you please help me? Because just send out like a blast to all the Guitar Center saying all this stuff is stolen. And he did it. Like, I don't even know if he was at work. He was just like being really helpful. And I was like, please help me. Cause that was the worst feeling ever. So shouldn't make fun of people
of
who are nice.
Good feeling. Speaking of a good feeling, having your music on TV shows like Dance Moms and One Life to Live has to be,
yeah.
To counterbalance those bad feelings. See how I did a segue there? That was kind of bad. It could have been good if it was executed by a professional.
You're faking it. Being
executed
really
by me.
It's really good.
It was... I could edit this to make it look like it was really good, but I won't.
I think you just own it.
I want to know what Dance Moms is, because it sounds like the most amazingly terrible show. I love amazingly terrible shows. I love them.
Is that anything like those terrible, terrible mothers that force their kids to be in pageants and sexualize like little girls? Like, is that basically what it is?
It's just like that. Yes.
Oh, awesome.
It's basically like the soccer moms, but of
that's
dance.
Sarcasm, by the way, people. Just before people are like, oh wow, Marcia thinks it's awesome that these terrible mothers are sexualizing little girls. That was sarcasm. It is not awesome. Music was in it. That's awesome.
You see, here's the thing. It's like, this girl, she did a dance. They wrote a dance to one of the songs that I had done with my band Black Kettle and my friend Jonathan Aarons. And they choreographed it and everything. And this little girl, and she danced to it, and it was awesome. It was so cool watching, because I was like, no one's ever written a dance or made a dance to something I've done before. But then it was so surreal, because like her mother is just so awful. And I watched it. I actually watched Dance Moms because
you know what
I
her
wanted
name
to
is?
See. The girl?
The girl's
dancer?
Mother?
No, she's like the lead, she's like the girl in the show.
In the show?
Like,
okay, well, I just wanted to give her a shout out to you.
Okay.
And welcome her to give us a response on this video.
Yeah.
On this episode.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Why they do what they do.
I mean, they're doing something right, because they have a show. And
that
I mean,
so does Honey Boo Boo.
The Kardashians are doing something right because they've got a show.
Exactly.
They're not doing very much right.
Hey, from a musical standpoint, like from a career standpoint, that's amazing. You have your music on there. That is an amazing point.
Thanks. Thank you.
Because, hey, you're not associated with the show. They just used your song. But other than that,
it was so weird. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And then it was also like, wow, this show is crazy. Cause I didn't know that this was a thing until
That's but, like if Charles Manson ever covered your song. You're like, this is so cool, but wait, this is so not cool.
I would love that. I would love that.
Controversial.
I can't even imagine. But no, it actually
Are you
got
a fan
me
of One Life to Live?
I don't actually know much about One Life to Live.
Yeah, no, is that a soap opera?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like one.
For soap operas, yeah.
It is. It's like a daytime. Yeah.
Like Days of Our Lives or one of those terrible shows.
I watched Days of Our Lives once. It was the most amazing hour of my life. Seriously, it was just the worst thing I've ever seen, but in such a way that I couldn't stop watching. I was actually like...
Right.
Like a train wreck.
Whoa.
It was so... Or a car accident.
Away.
You just want to see it.
I just don't know how people watch it. I don't know how people watch soap operas.
Seriously, it was so good. It was so bad.
You
I
love
you,
bad program.
I do.
That,
I love
that paranormal show you watch. I watched like an
Home
episode
Inspectors.
Two, and I'm like, what's it called?
It's Paranormal Home Inspectors. But you know what's funny? You know how
you
I was talking
Netflix,
to you?
Yeah.
You know how I was talking to you about it and how it was so bad?
Yeah.
The woman from the show favorited my tweet to you, which was me being sarcastic, saying that I love this show. She favorited it. And then I felt really bad, and I've not watched it since because I feel so bad.
Shout out to Paranormal Investigators.
Yes.
It was so good.
Well. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So weird. Twitter is a strange place.
Twitter
so
is
Tiny Stills.
Tiny Stills.
Tiny
that's
Stills.
Me.
That's your new band.
That's my band. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Tell us about Tiny Stills and your new album, Falling is Like Flying.
Sure. So Tiny Stills is me, my band, and this album I wrote. There's a crazy story behind this album. And what it is that I was in a band that broke up after I went through this thing where I was working at a minimum wage job in Los Angeles as a baker. And we were working, me and my best friend Charo, and a guy came in and robbed us at gunpoint.
Oh.
And so I know, this is the crazy story.
That is
story.
A hilarious story. I love how
Isn't
you say this
hilarious?
Is a funny story.
So this is my funny story. Robbed us, and then my whole life kind of changed after that. Like, my band broke up. I moved into a new place, and all of my relationships that I had previously kind of changed. And this album is like the sunglasses, you know, the change of temperature, if you will, on all of those relationships that I had previously. And it's kind of like the first thing that I did after living through this like crazy thing that happened to me and like all of my relationships changed and all of that. Right. So yeah. So all of these songs are kind of like the way everything changed after my life, you know, that happened to me. So Tiny Stills was a project that I created and the name stems from the fact that each of these songs is like a little snapshot into my life. For each experience that I had, it's because so many times with songs, like, it exists right now. Like right now, this song may be applicable to my life and might be exactly what I'm feeling. But like in 5 years, maybe not. But right now it was like, that was what I felt and that was how it was. And so I did a Kickstarter for this album. I made this project under this name, this moniker. So I've got like I've got videos coming out and I've got, you know, I'm doing, which is crazy because I never thought being a musician, you would have to shoot videos and like make, like my friend Nate Little is making puppets for these videos and I'm finding puppeteers. And it's like all this crazy stuff being a musician to promote this album, you know, which is really like as a musician what you do. But anyway, you have to do all this other stuff as well. So I'm like super busy with that and promoting it.
This episode might air after it's released. So we'll just add in there. It may have already been released. So go buy it.
So you can Google that if you want.
Yes, and buy it.
And buy it. But yeah, I'm really excited to put it out. It's been a long time coming and this is the first album I put out that's basically like I had a heavy hand in it. Like this is like my baby, you know?
Nice.
So I'm super excited.
So Tiny Stills is your solo project?
Yes.
Right. And you decided to use a moniker. Why?
Because I didn't want to have to fight the stigma of being a female songwriter. Because in terms of branding myself, which is something I think about a lot as a producer and someone who likes to see the forest, the bigger picture, I didn't want to come across as being just an individual singer-songwriter, because the way people perceive that is very specific. And even me as a musician, seeing individual female singer-songwriters, there's a stigma to that, that you ultimately have to fight from the get-go. And I didn't want to have to, fight that. You know, that was a battle that I can leave out of the equation in terms of getting.
No, there's a stigma with I wouldn't say stigma, but even with male singer-songwriters, there is an expectation because that's myself. I use my own name.
Exactly.
And I've debated before, you know, to use a band name or whatever. But I do know there's, like you're saying, there's a separate stigma with females, too. I know what you're talking about. You don't want to have to deal with that.
It sucks to have to say that. It really does.
It's reality, though.
But it's the way. Yeah, it's exactly. It's reality. And you kind of have to just be honest with yourself about it. And for a while, I was going under my name and it was working. And, you know, there's something cool about being able to see your name next to people who you're working with, you know, be like so-and-so and also like your name, you know, and you're like, yeah, that's me. That's my stuff. I'm working on it. It's me. You know, whereas like this name that I'm going under, it's a little bit vague, you know, because you don't necessarily know if when you see it, if it's a girl singer, if it's a guy singer, that, you know, you kind of have this veil to what the music is that you can hide behind or not. And it was important to me because I just didn't want to have to fight that battle, but it works out. And I got a lot of advice as I was like trying to figure it out, you know, like I asked a lot of my friends who are singer songwriters who have, you just go under their name, you know, would you have changed the way that you started your career? You know, would you have, if you could go back, would you have gone under a moniker? And they all said yes. So I was like,
see, it's so funny because I started out as a moniker and I dropped the moniker, you know, because the angle I took was once music is being released under my name, I have to make sure it's the best music that at least best by my subjective term that I'm most proud of because it's under my name. Right. But in the other angle of it, when you use a band name, you don't have, like, when it's your name, you are the image. You have to be, you know what I mean? When you use a name, you can create an image. Aside from just your physical appearance, which is kind of appealing too, because then you're appealing, you can create a whole world.
Yeah.
You know, so there's I think there's a complete pro to con to both, which I'm sure you would agree with having there be a pro and con. And it's not a difficult decision to make.
Yeah.
You kind of know what feels right for you, and I think you kind of go with that. And I think you both made the right decisions, so good job, both of you.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you might even decide to release something under your own name one day if it felt right, and maybe it's completely different from what you're doing with Tiny Stills.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely fair, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you can change. But you know what? What else, though? Like, I feel like going under your name means that you can never... Like you said before, you can never really backtrack from that. Like, once you put it on the internet and it's your name, it's like, even if you decide you're going to be a rock band here and then you want to be like a funk singer, you know, or like funk or get it, it's just completely changed to rebrand your name, which is yourself. It's really difficult.
Yeah, it's much more difficult.
Absolutely.
It's much more difficult to fight to get away from what you've already done. And in that sense, it's just like, who knows? I don't know what the future holds for me, but like this project, I'm just going to take as far as I can. I think it's great that you go under your name and you know, it works for you. And your music is great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. So is yours.
Yeah, I checked it out. it's really great.
There you go. Do a little heart there. you know what? Like, yeah, exactly. There's pros and cons. So tell us, what's the Michael Cera incident?
Oh, my God. Wait, did I tell you about the Michael Cera?
You told me about it,
I do not know about this. I just know it as the quote-unquote incident. So I'm excited to hear about this.
I told you. I don't remember telling you that. Okay. So my band, I was in a band called Black Kettle for 3 or 4 years, and we went to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. In 2011, we went specifically. And we had just done a house show in LA. It was cool. It was crazy. We did a house show where it was just our friends. They had people come and play. And there was this cool band that like Americana, before like Americana was like a big deal, like the Lumineers, like before all that stuff happened. And I was like, oh, I love this band. This is so cool. And there's like a banjo player and there was a guitarist. And so we played the show and then basically like hit the road the next day and go to South by Southwest to play some shows. And we're walking down 6th Street, which is the street that has all the bars and all of the venues, and it's super cool, and there's like hundreds and hundreds of people on the street at any given time, and we're walking, and I spot this guy, and I go, oh my God, that's the banjo player from the freaking show we just played. Like, what are the odds that they're here at South by Southwest too? Like, we just saw each other. That's amazing. And so he walks past me, and I reach out and I grab him as he walks by, and he ignores me, and I just am like, turn to my bandmate. I go, that was rude. Like, who does that? Like, that's crazy. And then I said, I have to say hi, because this is such a strange coincidence. And so I run down the block, because at this point, like, the crowd has drifted us far away. Run down the block, I grab him, I go, hey, oh my gosh, do you remember me? We played a show together, like, 2 days ago. And he goes, no, I don't, And I go, no, I swear to God, you play banjo, right? And he goes, no, I don't play banjo. And I go, no, I swear I know you. We just played a show together. Like, you don't remember me? And he goes, no, I think you have me mistaken for someone else. And at this time, the girl that he's with, who is, like, very obviously, like, his girlfriend of sorts or something, looks at me like, who the heck is this? Like, I'm going to, like, just piss. She's just angry. And I turn back to my bandmate. And she's looking at me and she's like, no. And I'm like, oh God, who is this? And then I'm like, so I apologize. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, didn't mean to like bug you. And I walk back to her and she goes, why did you just grab Michael Cera? Like, why did you just grab Michael Cera and run after him? And I was like, oh my God, because I'm so bad with like movies and actors. And you know, like I'm just notoriously, I am bad at knowing people. And so the cherry on top with that is that her sister ran into him later on at the festival and said, oh my gosh, my sister's bandmate like grabbed you and said she knew you from a show. And his response was, yeah, that was weird.
Oh, well, shout out to Michael Cera.
Michael Cera, if you are watching, that was me. That was, I did that. So,
Michael Cera, feel free to reply to this video if you want.
So someday I'm going to meet him again.
Yes.
And he's not going to remember me, or maybe he will.
He probably
will be under different circumstances.
I know.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
Yeah, I think.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
CD.
Summer or winter?
Oh shit. Zero, sorry. Go ahead.
Summer or winter? Summer.
Yeah. Pizza or pierogies?
Oh, pierogies. I just made pierogies. Literally, they're right there. Pierogies. Okay. Like, yeah.
And Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Melody or rhythm?
Melody.
Solo or band?
Band.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain.
Ghosts or toast?
Ghosts.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yogurt. Frozen yogurt.
Whiskey or beer?
Whiskey.
Cowboys or aliens?
Cowboys.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson.
Bon Jovi or baloney?
Baloney. Baloney.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin.
Whale or kale?
Kale.
Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And the final question, drum roll. Ross or Marcio?
Oh no!
Uh-huh.
Oh, no!
We went there.
Oh god.
We are actually there.
We're right there now.
Okay.
And you only have 2 seconds.
Marcio. Because he's my new friend. Because he's my Ross. We go back. Though that's the thing.
Whoa.
Is we go back.
That's
really
the most
far,
shocking. That's the most shocking answer.
I just want to say it's because we're new friends.
High five.
And not because we're old friends. So I feel like it's okay because I'm always going to be there for you in that way. I'm always, you know,
I'll be there for you.
We should just let her keep on trying to explain herself out of this.
We're just that could be a segment in and of itself.
I'm so sorry. You guys can't. That's an awful question.
It is. I love that's why we
it's
have
really,
it. It's so uncomfortably awkward. I love it.
Does everyone have that reaction?
Mostly. Mostly. Some people have said an amalgamation of both of us.
Yeah, some of them have been a bit creepy, though. Like, the way they want to combine us and
they want us
stuff,
to, like, join us in some sort of melting pot.
So some of them are a little bit weird.
Study.
That's amazing. Yeah.
What sort of advice would you give to aspiring musicians?
My advice would be to not stop doing what you're doing because you never know when it's going to be the right time to be doing it. You just can't stop. You know, you got to be kind of crazy and just keep going, even when it sucks.
Being crazy is definitely, yeah.
Also, don't be afraid to tell bad jokes on stage. This is something I am notorious for having done.
I love it.
Because how many times are you on stage, right? And people are like, tell a joke. Or they're like, free bird. And you're like, here's the thing. You're going to get what you're asking for, right? So just give them what they want. They want a show. Just bad joke it away. That's my only advice.
Oh, Marcio, you'd be great at that. In your face.
He's so bitter that you picked me. He's so bitter.
No. I'm so sorry.
No. We're good. Like, you and I are, like, so good right now.
You guys.
So good.
I'm so
sorry. So what are you listening to these days? What's on your iPod? What should people check out?
Ryan Adams. I'm listening to a lot of Ryan Adams.
I've not checked out his new record yet.
You haven't?
No. Do you recommend it?
It's really good.
I like some of his stuff, so I'm interested to hear it.
This is kind of a little bit blasphemy, I suppose, but I didn't really know much of Ryan Adams until very recently, and I decided that it was proof that I don't have friends, because my friends would know that I would love this, and no one showed me, and I felt really upset about it. But yeah, the new Ryan Adams is really good. He was on Letterman and did like an encore of the same song, which is...
Oh, wow.
When does that happen?
You know what, though? I think that's an example of the fact that you're a driven singer, mm-hmm. songwriter, producer, engineer, mixer, the list goes on. It's the consequences. You have no friends. I can relate to that. It's okay.
Yeah. You know, it leads to a lot of drinking alone in front of a computer is essentially what it comes down to. Because you're always busy. But yeah.
Right.
No, Ryan Adams, I would say that's my suggestion. Cool.
And awesome. Where can people find you online? TinyStills.com?
TinyStills.com. It's Tiny Stills on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So any of those platforms that you like the most.
Perfect.
That's where awesome. I am.
This has been so much fun chatting with you and getting to know you. And you and I are best friends now. So
I know. High five.
Your relationship with Ross might be down the hill, but you know, it's okay. You lose you gain one. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You guys.
That's what it's all about.
Controversial.
controversy.
Can't do it.
I know.
Hey, but yeah, this has been the most we've name dropped the most people on this, and bad talk.
I know.
Bad talk shows you're on, like your music's on. This is great.
Yeah, it's really good.
Ratings are just gonna go way up, so we're good.
I hope we offend a lot of people with this one.
I hope so too. I really do.
I think we will. I mean, you've definitely offended me, so you know that's one. That's one right off the bat. Right.
And on that note, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Supremely happy.
Sorry,
Ross. Hey, it's fine.
Much love, and come on the show again soon, okay?
Yeah, tell us some bad jokes.
I will.
Awesome. Bad joke.
Hey,
take care.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.